be funded. I'm talking about breathing tubes, oxygen tanks. These are the things that keep patients alive. Suction devices, which clear the patient's throat so that they can eat and breathe. And everything else that fits into the medical category, like equipment for carers, gloves, syringes, and so on, none of that stuff is to be funded under the new system, the better system. Well, that's what we were told. The New South Wales government has guaranteed total funding for 3 months only from now. That's it. In 3 months' time, these families will have to fork out thousands just to keep their relatives alive. To expose this afternoon, Paul Adderley is with us, whose son Kenneth is a resident at the Summerhill Grosvenor Centre. I'll go to you first, Paul. Good afternoon to you.
Hi,
thank
Ben.
You for
How
joining
are you?
Us.
Very much.
I'm looking at the faces of people. You probably saw it as I was reading
yeah.
that out.
Yeah.
Just describe for anyone who's not here and who's listening in cars and homes around Australia right now, the looks on the faces of the people here at our live broadcast when I explained yep. what funding is being taken away.
Yeah, there's just shock. It's something that we live with, but it's good to see the reaction of other people because it is shocking. It's distressing. It's something that we've been living with for the last year or so. Now we've actually transitioned and we're in this 3 month purgatory again. It is shocking.
Under the old system, breathing tubes and oxygen tanks,
everything covered.
Were covered.
Everything.
Under the new system, no funding guarantee going forward beyond 3 months.
The NDIA send constant emails to our support coordinators telling us that things aren't covered.
They want you guys to pay.
I guess that would be the plan at the end of the day if we can't get it negotiated so that the NDIS packages will pay for it. Yeah.
Tell me about your son, Kenneth, who's a resident in this home.
Kenneth's 25. He's been disabled since he was born. He's severely disabled. He doesn't really have any abilities of his own. You sit him up, he'll fall over. He doesn't talk. He's fed by a tube. He has special things called nephrostomies cut in his back where he wheeze. He lives in a wheelchair or in his bed. He's a lovely boy, but he doesn't really do anything. It's like having a sort of a 6-week-old baby, and a 25-year-old 6-week-old baby in your house.
I don't know how many residents there are at this facility, the yeah. Summerhill Grosvenor Centre, but
there's 20.
The 20 yeah. residents there yeah. rely on the suction devices.
Absolutely.
The oxygen tanks.
Yeah, it's life maintaining.
The breathing
supports.
Tubes.
Yeah, life-maintaining medical supports.
I mean, you'd think, wouldn't you? You'd think that someone in a position of power, when they went, hang on a moment, breathing tubes, they sound important.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have a medical degree. I've never worked as a full-time carer for anyone.
Yeah.
But breathing tubes, I'd be thinking, hang on a moment, that sounds like a vital piece of equipment.
Yes, you would think so, wouldn't you?
What do you guys make of all of this, and how frustrating and hard is it for you to deal with the fact that this is being taken away?
It's really distressing. We were extremely happy there. We're extremely happy with the care they get. The staff there are second to none. And to have it handed over to... Achieve looked like a perfectly reasonable company to be taking it over. And we were given a choice of two during the tender process, and we chose Achieve. But without the funding, they won't be able to carry on their own business. So they'll either have to walk away from it or they're going to have to find the funding somewhere else, which will probably be us.
I'll come back to you in a moment. I want to bring sure. in Troy Wright, who is the Assistant General Secretary at the New South Wales Public Service Association. Troy, thank you for coming along this afternoon.
Thanks for having me on, Ben.
Why doesn't the New South Wales Government just guarantee medical funding permanently?
It's a question we've been asking the New South Wales Government for several years since this was proposed, Ben. We need to look back a little bit in time, up to a couple of years ago, before the implementation of the NDIS. People with a disability were cared for in a mixture of non-government providers, and a large proportion, 40-odd%, were cared for in government-provided housing and accommodation through ADIC. The NDIS came in, and as you've rightly explained, Ben, it's a funding model. It's nothing more than a way of getting funding to individuals rather than collectively. The New South Wales government saw this as an opportunity to move completely out of the sector and divested itself of all its responsibilities, we say. Effectively, it's moved away. It's put out to tender homes like the Grosvenor Centre and others all across the state, some 800 group homes, and said we won't be a provider. Now, The big issue here, and the thing that needs to be asked, is New South Wales is the only state to do this, the only state and territory to completely walk away from any responsibilities. There was nothing stopping Ray Williams and the New South Wales government from staying in the sector, continue to provide some level of service to people, and attract NDIS funding as a provider.
Hang on, so just confirm this. You're saying that Ray Williams is the only state disability minister in Australia, and New South Wales is the only state or territory in the country which have completely backed away from the disability space, leaving it entirely up to the NDIS.
Absolutely, Ben. It's in the heads of agreement with the NDIS when it was drawn up between the then O'Farrell government and Julia Gillard's Commonwealth government.
But the other states thought, no, hang on a moment, we don't want to just back away here and just leave it to Canberra to sort this thing out, because we want some control over what kind of care and support is being given to the people who live in our state.
Absolutely. Every other state and territory government recognised that there would be people that would slip through gaps. There were people that either had too complex a needs that couldn't be provided by non-government providers, or people that had need respites, another example of that, or people that the NDIS has such a rigid funding model, in which you've described accurately there, that they're only looking at disability. There are people such as Paul's son, Kenneth, who need a comprehensive plan and comprehensive service delivery. What we're seeing is people's lives being fractured into health needs and disability needs. The two are intertwined. You can't split it up.
I mean, it's the same as all of these cases that we've brought people to do with respite, where the NDIS doesn't want to recognise respite. They say, no, we just look after the person with the disability, not the carers. Mm. But the carers are the ones who keep the person with the disability alive. And I've mentioned this many times, but one of these carers once said to me, respite is the difference between me killing myself or not killing myself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, Ray Williams has been really good at cleaning up some of the messes that we've brought to his attention, but this is the first time that I've discovered the fact that New South Wales is the only state that just washed its hands of the disability space completely and left it up to Canberra. I mean, they whinge about Canberra's inaction every other day of the week. What made them think that Canberra was going to look after the most vulnerable people in our state?
Yeah. It was an opportunistic, cynical move to walk away from some of the most vulnerable people in the state, people that relied on the state government for service provision. It's got nothing to do with the NDIS. It's got nothing to do with the NDIS in other states. Other state governments know they need to pick up the pieces and fill the gaps, not
right
in New South Wales.
Let me work out what I need to do next week. So I'm guessing the first thing that I need to do, Paul, for everyone at the Summerhill Grosvenor Centre, is make sure that funding is guaranteed until forever.
Oh, yeah, we need some
for all of these medical services.
We need some.
So that's a given,
yeah.
Right? And I don't know, because Ray Williams doesn't even know we're doing this interview at this stage, but I know from past form that they'll all step in and say, oh, whoa, hang on a moment, how did this possibly happen? Even though you reveal that you've been in discussions with the New South Wales government for a long time on this, they'll say to me, thanks so much for bringing it to our attention, it's all fixed.
So we've been to see Ray Williams twice, and this has been brought to his attention in many different ways.
So that's the first thing we will fix next week.
Yeah.
But on a wider scale, Troy, what do we need to fix in regards to New South Wales and the NDIS?
It's a very good question. I heard Ray Williams on your show 2 weeks ago, Ben, and it really had concerns for me. He gave the figures that there's 100,000 people in New South Wales currently on the NDIS, and according to him, 90% of those people are happy. Now, I think that's an exaggerated figure to start with, but even if that was true, his solution was to advocate individually for the other 10,000 people. That's ridiculous. You would be putting so many band-aids on a broken model that you couldn't keep up. There needs to be a systematic look at this, that the New South Wales government needs to follow the lead of the other state and territory governments, stay in the field, continue to provide services for those that are beyond the capacity of the non-government organisations and that fall through the cracks. Because they're not cracks, they're chasms at the moment.
Well,
they're enormous gaps.
It's funny you use that metaphor. I was using a boat, you know, only 2 weeks ago. I said, look, I really love the fact that when we show you a hole in the boat, you plug it. But I'd much prefer you said, hang on a moment, let's stop all of these holes from appearing in this boat, because they seem to be everywhere.
Yeah.
Paul and Troy, I'll leave it there, but I know But the people of New South Wales won't cop this. They won't cop it one single bit. And obviously, Ray Williams will be on to you next week and Gladys Berejiklian to find out why New South Wales decided to wipe its hands or wash its hands involving the most vulnerable people in our community. Thank you so much for coming in this afternoon.
Thank you, Ben. Yeah, thank
you. So there you Thanks go. For being Paul, involved. Adderley and Troy Wright. And we'll be on to the Minister and the Premier on that next week.
Traffic, in or out of the car, keep listening.